Egypt is very interesting because what happens in Egypt inevitably affects the whole of the Middle East and North Africa, the whole of the Arab world in some sense. It has been the father of Arabism over decades, and now people look at Egypt to see what happens there and how it will provide stability for the rest of the region, or be at least a leader for the rest of the region. What at the moment is happening in Egypt is that they are all getting ready for presidential elections. And presidential elections, which will take place in two rounds in May and June, have also highlighted the problems that Egypt is facing politically in terms of a confrontation between the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, SCAF, and Parliament, which is largely dominated by Sunni Muslim parties, largely the Muslim Brotherhood, and also the Salafist, Al-Nur, and other parties. Now, in a sense, one thing is the election, the presidential election. The other one, which I think is very, very important, is also the writing of the constitution. A new constitution is being written for the country. In terms of the presidential elections, some of the contenders, which were very high-profile contenders, both Islamist and non-Islamist, have been disqualified by a body that has actually got the judicial authority to decide who will be able to run in those elections or not. And at the moment, we've got, I think, two candidates who I would suspect, at this stage at least, are leading in the race. One is Amr Moussa, a former Secretary General of the Arab League, and the other one is Abul Futur, who is a what is known, and it is an inaccurate description, but you forgive me if I use it too because it avoids us going into too many technical details, is a moderate Muslim from the Muslim Brotherhood, who actually was expelled from the Muslim Brotherhood for his moderate views. Now he's running in the elections and is being re-accepted so that he is the face of moderate Islam versus a more secular liberal candidate, Amr Moussa. So I think at the end, those two are at the moment leading the pack, but there are others as well who are running in those elections.
The only question I wanted to ask is which of those two realities, either more moderate Muslim reality versus a more secular reality, which of those would be better, do you think, for the Coptic Christian community?
A very good question. A very, very good question, and a difficult question to answer because I wouldn't be able to tell you which one would be better for the Coptic community because the Copts have faced enormous problems during former President Hosni Mubarak's time, and he was anything but a Muslim or Islamist leader. So who says that they will be in far worse or far better position if a Muslim contender becomes president and he draws his source of authority and erudition from Islam? So it's very difficult to do that. But I will answer you, James, somewhat differently by saying that Amr Moussa, who is I think in his mid-70s, is someone who is associated with the former regime. He was foreign minister during Hosni Mubarak's time before becoming a secretary general of the Arab League. In a sense, he is secular, he is liberal. Would he be able to implement the policies and the plans that he has in mind when we know that parliament is predominantly Muslim, run or controlled at least by the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salafist parties? In a sense, I know Amr Moussa. I respect him enormously. If he wins, I'm not going to lose much sleep that night. But I would wonder how much authority he would have versus Parliament, versus the government, versus the military council to implement his plans. On the other hand, the Muslim contender, Abul Futur, is, in my opinion, a moderate Muslim, and one whose pronouncements to date have been quite open-minded and flexible. So if you put me in a difficult situation that I need to choose one or the other, you may be surprised to hear that I would go for Abul Futur as being probably the better candidate for the moment in Egypt. It doesn't mean that Amr Moussa is not. It means that both of them, in some sense, will not make me lose sleep at night. Now, The reason I say this is manifold. On the one hand, it is the express views of this man, but also the fact that he hails from the Muslim Brotherhood, who control parliament. Therefore, it might be easier for him to be able to cooperate with parliament in a less confrontational and more consensual manner than would a liberal coming from the liberal end of the political stream in Egypt. Would that work or not? I don't know. Time will tell. The charming thing about the Middle East and North Africa, for a lack of another word, is that things change every day and you've got to be on the ball all the time, because what I said yesterday wouldn't necessarily apply today and what I'm telling you now might not apply tomorrow. So in that sense, I would qualify my answer by saying the two leading contenders at the moment do not give me any particular nightmares. But what does give me nightmares is the drafting of the constitution. Because what happened is that there was an attempt by parliament, predominantly by the Muslim Brotherhood, political arm of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salafist parties, to basically create a constituent assembly which was supposed to oversee the drafting of the constitution, which was predominantly 70% of the members of that 100-member constituent assembly were from Islamic or Islamist sources. Now, the reasoning given for that was that Parliament said, well, we are predominantly the elected people or deputies of this country, so we should have a majority on this assembly. I would beg to differ by saying that ruling a country, or who is in Parliament, take our own Parliament at Westminster here. One day it's the Tories, one day it's Labour. Hey ho, today it's even the Lib Dems. But in that sense, who rules the country is a product of fair and free elections, hopefully. The constitution is not supposed to reflect the platform or the agenda of the ruling party of the moment. It's supposed to be for the whole country. So you have to have a blend of liberals, Muslims, different people with different political thought, Christians, others, so that the constitution would be for all Egyptians and not only for one party, even though that party at the moment predominates.